come on. Ah, that was me without a microphone singing. Aren't you lucky? Thank you. Yes would have been nice, but I'll go with silence. I'll tell you, I really struggled about what to preach on this evening. And I don't know whether I've made the wrong decision, but I believe that I've got to go with what God wants me to go with. I was going to preach about being an encourager, and I was going to preach on Barnabas. And Barnabas is one of my heroes. He's not a lot is known about Barnabas. I'm about to go on to that sermon. I'm not going to do that sermon. But I was going to preach on Barnabas. Was that Barnabas? No. But it's all about encouragement, isn't it? And that's where I was going to preach this evening. And I don't know why, but at the last minute, I didn't feel that I was right. But I wonder whether it might have been right. But I pray that tonight, that what God has asked me to preach on is what he needs you to hear, even though I think something else. But I think we've got to be obedient to God, so I'm going with what God is asking me to do. So if he is asking me to do the encouragement one, I'll come back another time and do the encouragement one. But I do believe that he is asking us to hear this evening. So that being said, let's just pray. Speak, Lord God, for your servants are listening. Speak, Lord God, into our hearts. Speak, Lord God, into this church. Speak, Lord God, into this community. Speak, Lord. Your servants are listening. Hear the words of our mouths and meditations of our hearts. May they be acceptable and may they be pleasing to God. Speak. Your servants are listening. So if you would turn with me to John chapter 21. John 20. I'm just going to read quite a short passage this evening. I know the last time I was here on a Sunday evening, I read quite a long passage and I made no apology for it, because I think it's good to read the Bible in the context in which it's written. But tonight we're just going to read quite a short passage. And it's John chapter 20, verses 19 to 23. And the bit that seemed really appropriate is because it starts off with that Sunday evening. And that's why I thought it was just appropriate to do that this Sunday evening. But that Sunday evening, the disciples were meeting behind locked doors because they were afraid of the Jewish leaders. Suddenly, Jesus was standing there among them. Peace be with you, he said. As he spoke, he showed them the wounds on his hands and in his side. They were filled with joy when they saw the Lord. And again he said, peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, so I am sending you. Then he breathed on them and said, receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, they're forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they're not forgiven. So may God add his blessing to that reading of his word this evening. When I was here the last time on a Sunday evening, we talked about being a worshipping community. But I don't know why, but tonight I felt I needed to talk to you about being a missionary community. But I did feel that I wanted to talk to you about being encouragers. But maybe being encouragers helps us being a missionary community. Maybe they both go hand in hand. But I really feel that this is where I was going with this one this evening. I wonder what you think about when you hear the word missionary. Maybe another question would be, what do you think about when you hear somebody say that they're called to do mission? A friend of mine, a colleague I work with, talks about being on missions. So I wonder what it makes you think about. I wonder whether you think that maybe to be a missionary is to be like a combination between Paul, the Archangel Gabriel, a little bit of Mother Teresa thrown in for good measure. Is a missionary a good person? Maybe that you have in your mind that the person to do mission, to be on mission, is maybe a person that just can't settle. They just can't settle in the sort of busyness and the humdrum of life in this country. They just can't settle with all that this country has to offer. And so maybe that person, they choose to sacrifice the creature comforts of this country to live in simplicity. To maybe live in a place where there's no running water, uncertain of where their next meal is going to come from. Maybe you're of the mindset that to do mission or to be a missionary, then you need to go off to the furthest corners of the world, to far off places, and do something quite exciting for God. Maybe that's what your idea of mission may be. Maybe your idea of mission is that it's not for you. Somebody else will do it. Now, you might want to tell me, Rhiannon, I can't do mission, I'm far too old. Well, I would tell you that I've had lunch today with an 80-year-old man. He's going out on mission in September. So you're never too old to do mission. Maybe you want to tell me, Rhiannon, I'm far too young. Well, I was 22 when I did my first mission. Maybe you want to say, Rhiannon, I've got far too many commitments. We're all busy. You know what life is like? I've got far too many commitments holding me back from going to deepest, darkest Peru. Or maybe you think, it's all right, somebody else has got it covered. Somebody else is going to go and do mission. I don't need to think about it. I don't need to worry about it. I might give a bit of money maybe to BMS or other mission organizations. I don't need to think about it. Certainly I don't need to do anything about it. Somebody else has got it covered. Maybe you think it's for the youngsters. Maybe all of the youngsters who haven't settled down yet should go and do mission before they settle down and get married and have a house and a family and a dog and 3.4 children or however many it is now. Maybe it's the ones who are taking a gap year. They can take a gap year, go off and do it. Maybe it's the ones who just want to go and see what the world has got to offer, who should go and do mission. What I want to say to you tonight, that if you think that's what missionary people is all about, if you think that all of those descriptions are what missionaries are, then it's quite wrong. And if you think that you're not called to be a missionary, then you're also wrong. Because every single Christian, no matter how old, how young, how busy, how whatever they are, is called to do mission. Whether you're young, whether you're old, whether you're male or female, whether you're married, single, widowed, divorced, never even thought about that. Whatever, if you're a Christian, you're called to do mission. Whether you've spent your working life in an office or in a school or in a whether your working life has been at home, you are called as a Christian to do mission. Whether you have your own family, whether they've all grown up, whether they've flown the nest, whatever, whether they've started their own family, whatever, you are called as a Christian to do mission. Now, if you are called as a Christian to do mission, that means this church is called to do mission. Because as a body of people together, you are church, called by God to do mission. As a body of people together, you are a community. So by virtue of all of that fact, you are a missional community, whether you like it or not. Christians together, being church, on a journey, on a missional journey together. You know, as Christians, everything that we do, everything that we say is mission. Because everything that we do and everything that we say is patterned after Jesus Christ. And he came to do mission. And this journey that as a community you're on together is not static, otherwise it wouldn't be a journey. It is not a static thing. Because as a Christian community together, you're moving forward with God on a journey that might well lead you to actual travel. It might lead you to deepest, darkest Peru. It might actually lead you to out of those doors and to speak to the people on the street. And that's mission. Do you know what I found really interesting this evening? The doors open. It's never normally open in the evening. I don't know if you've ever noticed that. That could be because somebody's just left it open. Could also be God wants you to look outside and see the community that you're called to do mission in. But it could be that he wants people outside to look in and see what's going on in here. That it's not some weird, freaky cult thing that goes on in a church. You know, I didn't have that written down, by the way. I might write it down for another time. In our reading, verse 21, if you look at it again, Jesus says, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am," what is he doing? Let's be like committed about it. "I am sending you." Not, "I have come to earth so I can do it all." Not, "I have come and I've shown you what to do, but don't do it." Not, "I came to show you, you don't have to do it, don't worry about it." Jesus tells his disciples, "I have shown you what to do, now go and do it. I am sending you so that you can do just as I have done." You know, and I thought I wasn't going to be preaching about encouragement, but those are words of encouragement, aren't they? I have done this. I have shown you how to do it so that you can go and do it. I have encouraged you to do it. I have instructed you to do it. I have promised you that you are going to do this the way that I'm going to do it. My golly gosh, if that's not an encouragement, then I don't know what it is. You know, this is John's version of the Great Commission that we read about in Matthew 28, where it says, "Then the 11 disciples went to Galilee, to the mountain where Jesus had told them to go." Again, "I've told you to go and do it. I've done this. I've told you to go and do it. Now go and do as I've told you to do." When they saw him, they worshipped, but some doubted. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore," I'm sorry. "Go. Therefore, go." He doesn't say, "Therefore, stay. Therefore, don't bother. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I've commanded. And surely I am where? With you to the very end of the age." My gosh, if that is not encouragement, I don't know what it is. He's asking us to do something that he's already done, and he says, "I'm going to be with you through it all anyway." These words, they are words that we are commanded to do, to evangelize, which is a bit of a scary word because you think of all those people that are on the streets shouting out about Jesus all the time. That is not just the only way to do mission, let me tell you. Because mission is more than that. These words, they give us a pattern for evangelizing. And I put that in those inverted commas things in the air for the benefit of the internet. So it is more than just going out to evangelize. What he's saying to do is, I want you to walk this Christian road, and I want you to grab a hand of somebody else, and I want you to take them with you. That's all it is. Do you know, when I became a Christian, this is not written down either, but I need to tell you. Before I became a Christian, I've told you my story before about the nurse who told me about Christ, and I thought she was a bit weird. Still seems a bit weird, but, you know, I still love her. She said to me, she came to our house, I was 19, she came to our house, and my father didn't like it at all, because I had this Christian in the house. I really didn't know her from Adam. Didn't know her from Adam at all, apart from that she was a nurse. And as she was going, she said, "Oh, you know, I have a lovely afternoon with you, but I've got to go now." And for some really weird reason, the most bizarre words ever came out of my mouth. And to this day, I still don't know where these words came from. This is nearly 20 years ago. I said, "You can't go unless you take me with you." What a bizarre thing to say to an absolute total stranger. "You can't go unless you take me with you." And so she went, "Yeah, come on then. Come on then." And she did physically take me. And I went to her house and I met with her, and her husband said, "Oh, you must be Rhiannon, we've been praying for you." Oh, freak. I was a bit scared. But she recognized the power of this instruction, this command from God, just to take hold of somebody's hand and go, "Do you know what? I'm going and you're coming with me. I said, you've got to take me with you." And she took me with her. That's mission. That is evangelizing. That is doing exactly as Jesus commanded us to do. Our mission in the world is to be doing and to being and to saying just as Christ did. He has shown us what to do. He hasn't said to us, "Do you know what? Go and make it up yourselves and see how many times you're going to fail." He didn't say that. He said, "I've shown you what to do. And now I'm sending you out to do exactly the same. And guess what? I am going to be there with you through it all." You know, he was the first one to do missionary work. He didn't have the blueprint that we've got. He had to do it as he was going along, trusting in his Heavenly Father to be there and to do it with him. And now he's saying to you and me, "I've done it. I've shown you what to do. And now I'm telling you to go and do the same in your community. Be a missional community." But what does it mean to be a missional community? Well, first of all, I think it means, you know, Jesus was sent. Where was Jesus sent? Into the world. To be a missionary community, a missional community, we need to go into the world. Think for a minute, if you would, about how significant it was that Jesus came into the world. He didn't stay in heaven. He certainly could have done. He didn't stay in heaven. He didn't shout down words of salvation to us from a fluffy white cloud saying, "I'm sitting next to my Father, I'm okay." He didn't shout out words to us and go, "Tell you what, give your lives to me, you'll be all right." No. He came down to us. And you know, he didn't come down in some sort of great divine light of wonderful glory with sort of like shimmering beauty all around him. No. He divested himself of all that glory and he appeared in humble form. He didn't even appear in human disguise, did he? Going, "Oh, I don't want them to know who I am. They'll all be after me. They'll all be expecting me to do something." He came just as a normal human being, just like you and me. He was born just like we've been born. And he grew. And he got into scrapes, and he was in the wrong place at the wrong time, and he played hide and seek in the synagogue, and he hid from his mother, and he did all those sorts of things because he was a child. And he grew. And he suffered. And he suffered because he wanted to be able to know what it was like for us to suffer. He wanted to experience what he knew we were going to go through. And he died. But he didn't stop there, did he? Because he rose again for us. That's what it means to come into the world. That was the way that Jesus came into the world, and this is the way that you and I are to go into the world. Do you know, I often think that people think that as Christians we've got it all right and we're okay and we don't struggle and we don't suffer and everything's going absolutely all right. And I want to turn around and go, absolutely not, it's not like that. We do struggle and we do suffer and we do end up in hospital and our children do get sick. And just because we're Christians does not mean that we're immune from it. But we do know a Saviour who has said, I promise that I will be with you even till the very end of the age. You know, this Jesus, he became one with those to whom he was sent. And we are to become one with those to whom we are sent to. And you know, we don't need to go to deepest, darkest Peru, but if God calls you there, then obediently go. But we don't need to go to deepest, darkest Peru or wherever to do his work this week. Because we can do mission on our own doorstep. We can do mission in this community. We can do it in our families. We can do it in our workplaces. You know, in church life, our mission very often involves building up the church. Does it mean getting bigger buildings? Well, praise God, one day it might be. But it means building up people. Building up people, helping people to find a faith for living. It means helping others discover and deepen their relationship with God. That is what our mission is. It means holding the hand of somebody and walking with them and sometimes stopping with them, sometimes crying with them, always praying for them and saying, you know, he said he will be with you right until the very end of the age and I will do my hardest to be with you too. But you know, for this to happen, we need some sort of unity in the church. And I'm not just talking about Siloam Church. I'm talking about the wider church. We need unity, not uniformity. We need unity in the church. We need a unity of heart and we need a unity of mind. We need not always to agree with one another in everything, but we need to humbly sit back sometimes and say, do you know what, your idea, you know, it might be better than mine, so let's go with yours. There must be unity for us to be a missional community. Because if our sole purpose is to be building up the kingdom of God on earth as it is in heaven for his glory, not for ours, then we can only be doing it together. But you know, because we're human, we sometimes get it wrong. We've got it wrong in the past, we've probably got it wrong today, and we'll get it wrong in the future. You know, we like the church the way it is. I've just had lunch with some people who have been in their church for forever. And they've spent the whole of lunch talking about how the church isn't like it used to be. We all like things the way they used to be because the past looks wonderful when you look back on it. We like it because it's comfortable. We know where we are. We know where we're going. We know what we're doing. We like to meet with like-minded people, people that we can relate to, people that we get on with, people that we share with, people that we're going to laugh with and cry with. We like to be in a reasonably safe place. But we're not here to find a safe place. You know, we need to be going out into the world, not retreating from it. And that's what we've done as a church. the wider church. That's what we've done. We've retreated from the world and gone, oh, it's not safe. They might not like it. We've not invaded it as we ought to have done. We've retreated to where it's nice and safe, and we've closed the doors and we've gone, oh, don't let them in. And for goodness sake, don't let them sit in my seat. Owen and I went to a church once, and in fact, I ended up pastoring it for a year. The first week that we went there, Owen sat down and somebody said, you can sit there this week, but next week you'll have to move because people that normally sit there, they'll be sitting there. We've pushed the world out because we like it nice and safe in here, where we know what we're doing and where I know where I sit. We've retreated to a place that's non-threatening. You know, we spend millions of pounds every year in sending people overseas. Because for some reason we think that that's where the world needs to be evangelized. Out there. Not here. Not in my place. We'll send them to the deepest corners of Africa. That's where they need to hear God's message. That's where they need to hear the gospel truth. That's where they need to know God's love. But you know, there's more missionaries coming over here than there has been in any other time. Because actually, our country needs to know. Our country needs to know the gospel message. People on our doorsteps need to know. Our next door neighbours need to know. I often wonder what my next door neighbours think. You know, when they see me go out on a Sunday with my Bible, then see me come back. I wonder, what do they think I've been doing? Sometimes they get our post for us and it says Reverend Francis on it. And I think, oh, I wonder what they think about me being a reverend. They need to know. You know, we've got mission wrong in many ways. Because we need missionaries here. And you might be it. I want you to listen to what John Stott says. He says, I personally believe that our failure to obey the implications of this command is the greatest weakness of the evangelical Christians in the field of evangelism today. We do not identify. We believe so strongly and rightly in proclamation that we tend to proclaim our message from a distance. We sometimes appear like people who shout advice to the drowning men from the safety of the seashore. We do not dive in to rescue them. We're afraid of getting wet, and indeed of greater perils than this. But Jesus Christ did not broadcast salvation from the sky. He visited us in great humility. How can we become one with secular men and women? As Christ became one with us, that we express and demonstrate our love for them and win the right to share with them the good news of Christ. Do you know what? I think John Stott has got it right. I think John Stott's got quite a lot right, but I think he's certainly got it right on this. Jesus didn't shout from the sky. He came here with great humility. You know, I don't know what the answer is. I haven't got an answer for you. But I do know that we're not really fulfilling the Great Commission. We're not really fulfilling it until we live with, until we befriend, until we love, and until we enter into the experiences of those to whom we're sent. You know, if we are to go into the world as Christ came into the world, we're going to have to learn how to become friends with unbelievers. We're going to have to learn how to be with people who aren't like us. We're going to have to learn how to help people work out their issues as we walk through life with them side by side, not from a distance. You know, I don't know whether I should say it, but I feel I have to, so I'm going to. You know, I think very often in churches, we sit in church and go, well, there's no children. Where are all the young families? Where are all the people? I'll tell you where they are, they're outside. But we sit in here with our doors closed going, wasn't it nice? Wasn't it nice? Just where we can keep it. But the world is hurting on the other side of our doors. But we've got to get out of the mindset that it's somebody else's job. Because it's our job. It's our job to make a difference. It's our job to do exactly as Jesus came to do. You know, if we see mission as an attribute of God's character, rather than an activity of the church, then it should change our view of church. And if we're supposed to be more like him, then it should change our view of ourselves. Being a missionary community, which is what we ought to be, is a movement from God to the world. And that's when we'll build church. When we get to the world. How is this going to work in practice then, in all reality? Well, I want to quickly suggest three ways that I think we can do it. And I want to say to you tonight, I do know that you're already doing it. I do know with all of your stuff that you do with coffee and lunch and all of that, you're already doing it and kids club and stuff like that. But we've got to keep on doing it. We've got to keep on keeping on. We've got to keep on reaching out to the lost and the hurting and the broken. And so how are we going to do that? We're going to do it by proclaiming the good news. The good news that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. The good news that he came into the world to save people like you and me. And when we turn to him and when we ask for forgiveness, when we want to walk in his way, the good news is that is when he will bless us. That is when he will hold true to the promise that he is preparing and saving a place with your name on it, with their name on it, for all eternity. We need to preach the gospel. Secondly, we need to teach and we need to nurture new believers. In our church this morning, the girl that was doing the children's talk asked all the children to look at the congregation and said to them, go and ask them who prayed for them to become a Christian. So apparently all the kids ran out and asked loads of people, who prayed for you to become Christian? And it was almost a bit like a grab a granny sort of thing. The kids have now adopted somebody in the congregation and has said to the congregation, will you pray for me in my Christian journey? Right? So all of the adults in the church this morning have committed to knowing these youngsters, to praying for these youngsters, to seeking them out every week to see, you know, how was your week? What can I pray for you? What's going on next week that I can pray for you? Because we've got to nurture, we've got to pray for, we've got to teach new believers, young believers in Christ, people out there. You know, there's no point in us having the knowledge. There's no point in us having a relationship with Jesus Christ if we don't share it with others. I've said to you before, I'll probably say it again, the greatest gift that you have ever been given in the gift of Jesus Christ is not a gift for you to grab hold of and say, thank you very much, I'll keep that to myself. This is a gift that you have been given to give away. We need to preach the gospel. We need to nurture new believers. We need to teach new believers and pray for new believers. We need to love them. We need to answer their questions. And thirdly, we need to be responding to human need by loving service. We're called as Christians to be servants, servants for Jesus Christ, servants for the church, and servants for one another. You know, we're not going to be very good at it if we find it a chore. It's just something else to add to the list of things that we need to do. We need to love what we're doing, because what we're doing is for Christ himself. And we need to love those who we're doing it for. We need to preach the gospel. We need to teach and nurture and pray for new believers. And we need to love being servants. Salvation Army slogan sums up mission really well, I think, by using three words. The three words are belief in action. I wonder whether we put our belief into action. I wonder whether this week somebody might see something different in you, because you're fulfilling the command to go and do as he has already done. That's what being a missional community is all about. That is what being a Christian is about. So I do want to encourage you. I hope there was a bit of encouragement in all of that. Well, I think there was, because I've just told you that Christ will be with you until the very end of the age, and he has suffered, and he knows our suffering. He knows what it's like. He knows the struggles. And he said, because of that, I'll be with you. But I want to encourage you tonight to reach out to the lost and the lonely, the unloved and the unlovely, because that's where Jesus would have been. And that's where he's commanded us to go and do likewise. So let me pray. Father God, we thank you that you haven't set us off on this journey without a pattern, without a formula, without an idea of what to do, because you've already done it. And you said, go and do the same. Father, we pray that you would give us the strength, that you would give us the opportunities, that you would give us the words and the humility to go and do as you have done. Father, we want to do that for your glory, that we might see your kingdom come in this place, and that you might use us to do your work. Thank you, Father, that you have experienced all the things that we already go through. You know our suffering, you know our pain. You know our struggles, and you've even said, I know all of that, and I will still be with you. Father, for those who are struggling, I pray that you've given strength. For those who are sick in body or in mind or in spirit, Lord God, I just pray that your healing would be upon them. Lord, in the book of James, you said, the oil is so important in healing. And we just pray, Lord God, that your oil, your healing oil, would run from the top of people's heads to the very tip of their toes. That you would touch every fibre, every being, every muscle, every single part of somebody's body with your healing. That people would be restored. Father God, where people's minds aren't on you, Lord God, I just ask that you would take away from their minds all that is hindering them. Father, where there's downcast spirits, where people are just feeling so low and flat, Lord God, I just pray that you would raise them up. Fill these people with your spirit. Fill them, Lord God, that they might testify to your grace, your goodness, your healing. And that they might continue to serve you for your glory. Father, where people need rest, may they rest in you. May they know your arms around them. May they feel your embrace. May they be held in your love. May you protect them. Lord, we pray that you would restore your church. That we might see this community change, that we might give you the glory. In Jesus' name we ask. Amen.